It's the way I know. It's the way I know. I know you wanna look down on me because the way that I am. It's the way I know. It's the way I know. I try the best that I can. Why can't you understand that maybe I'm a fan life on the outside, excluded from everything you heard of? Well, lonely heart gets lonely times, and I wish that I could get going, cause I know it bothers you. It's the way I know. It's the way I know. It's not the way that's been taught to me. It's just the way that I am. It's the way I am. It's the way I know. Although I'm ashamed, I'm not interested in shame. So you can carry, call me narrow-minded, but there ain't nothing wrong inside my head. It's just simply time to compensate for things of which I don't remain.
Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
And good afternoon and welcome to Community Living here on CITR UBC's Vancouver campus, 101.9 FM. So we had the we got invited to International Yoga Day, which was on Friday, and I was just going to play some of that that we were able to record of the talks and everything around how yoga helps improve people's health. And it's more than just that downward dog pose and the tree pose and all that kind of stuff. That it's there's actually some serious science behind it and how our bodies work and how energy flows through our bodies and how we can use that all that to stay healthy. So let's start with the first talk from that.
Specialized speakers, yeah, who will share their experience and their knowledge. And I would love to invite Dr. Arvindam Ravindra. So he will be talking about introduction to heartfulness. He's a physician practicing in the Fraser Health, has been a heartfulness practitioner for 23 years. Let's give him a big round of applause.
Here. I'm sorry, I'm heading out of town, so thanks for having with me and advancing me in the queue. So let's begin with a really short exercise. I would like you to convey this message, you know, look at each other, just turn around, look at each other. I'm happy. Just convey that message to each other, but without verbalizing it. Don't say it out loud, just by action. Yeah, I'm coming to that. So just say, not say, convey this message, I am happy, just by actions. Turn around. Thank you. Okay, so I'd like to talk about wellness from the heartfulness meditation perspective. So let's look at the science of yoga. Now, how did the science of yoga develop? If you observe yourself, you know, you'll see that there are demands on the physical self all the time. You know, moment to moment, we have to breathe ourselves. We have to drink water. We have to eat food to maintain our physical sustenance. You'll see that the demands on the physical self are quite high from moment to moment. And little less than that is the demands on mental and emotional needs. So little less than that, you know, it doesn't have to be moment to moment, but probably on a daily basis. What about the next one? The fulfillment of spiritual needs. You know, if that's fulfilled, probably just it needs to be fulfilled once in a lifetime, and that takes care of the individual existence. So you can automatically or logically you can see that the fulfillment of certain needs for the physical body, for the subtle body, and the causal body, what we call in yoga as the sthula sharir, sukshma sharir, and karan sharir. So yoga as a science was developed essentially to fulfill or nourish the physical self, the subtle bodies, and the soul or the causal body. So physical body, we all know, you know, there is a limit to evolution of this, but there are postures, physical self, asanas, and those things which we use that to fulfill the needs of the physical self, apart from other things, you know, food, water, etc. What about the subtle bodies, particularly the emotional and mental needs? Fulfillment of that happens through fulfillment by terms of nourishing the mind. So that leaves us with the causal body. What do we do to fulfill or nourish the causal body? Well, the sage Patanjali had an answer to that. You know, he came up with a complete package, the Ashtanga Yoga. There are 8 limbs in this yoga. So, correlating that in terms of nourishing, the main focus of that is the meditation. You know, there are 7 steps. The 7th step is meditation, the 6 steps lead up to meditation, and then samadhi. So in heartfulness meditation, we don't go through, or individually we don't tackle these steps of Ashtanga Yoga one by one. Or rather, through dhyana meditation, using the practices of the heartfulness, which is mostly the unique technique of pranayama and cleaning, and incorporate that incorporated with dhyana or meditation. The other limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, namely asana, pranayama, dhyana, dharana, and samadhi, they are all taken up as a single set. And they are simultaneously being worked on. benefits of meditation. Now, there are so many benefits of meditation. I'm not going to talk to you in detail about this. But one important thing, which the American Heart Association, it is a significant body, it's one of the treatment organizations, they came up with a statement last year. You know, overall, the studies of meditation suggest a possible benefit on cardiovascular risk. Although the overall quality, and in some cases quantity, of study data is modest, that sums up a lot of literature on meditation. There's quite a lot of meditation literature. I think it's about 900,000 or a million studies which has been done, quite a lot. But we have to be cautious in interpreting those. But certainly, you know, there's hope, and certainly there's recognition from a mainstream organization. It does have a lot of benefit with stress, mental health, cardiovascular health, asthma, chronic pain, insomnia, which is sleeplessness, and so many other things. But the point is, we have to interpret it with caution, because there's a lot, you know, from scientific point at least, there's a lot of non-validation in terms of the level of evidence, they would call it. But not bad, though. For something which is not really designed for health, you know, the purpose of meditation was entirely different. It's for the inner union, or realizing oneself. But there are other benefits to meditation, which the world is recognizing, and which the mainstream organizations are realizing, and there's more work to be done. I just want to point out this particular slide. You know, more than 120 studies were performed using MRI about the structure of brain. A lot of people would have heard about this. You know, meditation alters the gray matter of the brain, the white matter of the brain. These are tracks within our brain. These are cells within our brain. The reason why I put this is, you know, it's not just in people who are experienced meditators. You know, these are beginners as well, and these were meditators who were doing from 5 to 60 hours in a month. So even just 15 minutes of meditation a day will be good enough to bring about these changes. I just wanted to highlight that. Just regularity of practice, and it's not just the duration, regularity helps. And it's just a simple technique. The second thing which I wanted to point out in the brief time I have is this thing called heart rate variability. Has anybody heard about heart rate variability? We all heard about heart rates. Some of you might have heard about it. Basically, it's a variation between beat to beat. For example, let's say somebody has 60 beats per minute. And is it like one beat every second? It's not like that, you know? It could be between one beat and the other beat, it can be 0.75 of a second, and the next time it could be 0.8, and the next time it could be 1.1. That is really essential for our maintenance of health. You know, that heart rate variability is important, because there's a bit of a mechanism going on between the sympathetic activity, which is the fight and flight response, and the parasympathetic activity, which is the rest and digest response. So when we are young, the parasympathetic activity keeps firing continuously. You know, as we get older, that response is little. So the heart rate variability is an important thing, because it can predict so many things. You know, like metabolic syndrome, you know, are you at risk of having a heart attack? Is there a risk of diabetes, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, or degeneration? You know, so many of the risks are tied up with this heart rate variability. You know, what improves this heart rate variability? Physical exercise, breathing, and meditation. Can you think of something which combines all of these?
Yoga.
Of course. Thank you. So, there are studies to prove that the meditation is as good as exercise, because it is really recognized that exercise does do a lot of wonders to the body. You know, as we get older, at least we need to do that. So, at least in terms of heart rate variability with exercise, meditation, and breathing, we can, even when we're 50 or 60, we can feel like 20, but at least, you know, just within ourselves, not, you know, not the body. So the heart rate variability is something which can be measured, which we can easily find out, you know, which, with some gadgets, simple gadgets. So going on to my last slide, why the need for heart? You know, like I mentioned before, we use the heart as the point of meditation in heartfulness meditation with some simple practices. So why we need to, yes, that's one of the reasons, you know. But there are other reasons, you know. This is, as a radiologist, something which is very fascinating for me is when we look at the babies, you know, pregnant women and pregnant mothers, the first organ that forms is the heart. You know, that's the first organ that's a sign of life. You know, that's something which is really fascinating and a wonder to look at when you look at it. And it's a seat of emotion, you know, feelings. Positive emotions affect the brain, negative emotions affect the brain. In fact, there's been a lot of research which has been connecting now about the connection between the heart and brain. In fact, there's studies to suggest that the responses is not from here to here, but a lot of times it's from here back up there. You know, they did a study where they measured the electromagnetic radiation of the body of various parts, and the heart had the biggest circumference. You know, the beauty is before our brain, our eyes, or ears can pick up something, the heart will pick up a signal, you know, as I'm talking, as we're interacting. Our hearts are already connected. And it doesn't make any judgments, you know. It's kind of, let's ease it, and without any reservations, keeps connected. And it's a seat of soul. It's a seat of life and life.
And the most, it's your brain. And brain is the controller of our body. So when you're accumulating all this stress in your brain, it eventually travels down to your body. So whichever part of your body will be weak, and obviously you're gonna affect that. The cells are weaker in that part. And that part will be affected with the illness or imbalance in that area. Physical body and brain are affected by the mind and vice versa. It is the sentiments, emotions, feelings, passions, stress, desires, ambitions in the mind which creates physiological changes. If thought can change your body, and a pain anywhere on your limb from any injury can project a tension into your mind. Have you ever noticed that behind any illness, the root cause is always stress? When you have any family history of any disease, it's hereditary, the chances are that you will also get that. But you can lower your chances by bringing the balance in your body by doing yoga. So when you are stressed, that part, just an example, if you have a diabetes in your family, the chances that you'll be getting it. Why? Because your pancreas will be weaker. So when you're doing regular yoga, you can bring those hormones in your body, in that area, in balance, and make them stronger. So your chances will be less to get diabetes or any other disease that runs in the family. So when a person does the yoga, you keep everything, all the diseases and the stress out of the bay. So what happened?
Okay, so you heard a bit of the first talks there, and they're talking about stress and how stress has an effect on our health and our bodies, and even hereditary diseases can be controlled to a point by relieving our stress. So let's get to a couple of messages here on CITR 101.9 FM, and we'll be back with more of International Yoga Day.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Support the women of the Downtown East Side and spring into the Scotiabank Charity Challenge on June 24th. Join the Downtown East Side Women's Center in crowdsourcing funds and spreading awareness of their organization, which provides safe space, emergency shelter, basic essentials, and a continuum of support to marginalized women. Go to www.dewc.ca/run-4-DEWC for more information.
Better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine even when you don't have change.
And you're back listening to Community Living Radio here on CITR. I guess you could be listening to us live streaming on CITR.ca. It's 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. And we're playing a bit of the International Yoga Day that we got invited to and to record. It was Friday of last week, so we're a couple days behind, but the message is still good. And the last doctor we heard, she was talking a little bit about how to use meditations to control your stress so you can balance the stress in your body versus helping you keep disease at bay. So next we're going to hear from someone who's going to speak a little bit more about nutrition and things like that too. Okay.
And it also moves the mind. The people who have a very strong vata constitution are the dreamers. They're the creators, the artists, the composers in life. They're the people who create the things for us that give wonder. Out of balance, vata will create stress and worry that we tend to hold on to in the mind, and we will carry it into our body in the way that too much air element causes dryness in the bowel and tends to cause constipation and dryness of the skin. Pitta element, with its predominance of fire, controls the metabolism in the body, from the mitochondria to the liver, gallbladder, small intestine, and also the metabolism of the mind. People with a strong pitta constitution mentally will be the people who you want to have working for you, because they're the sharp thinkers, they're really bright, and they can get a project done from start to finish, bam, bam, bam. And watch out when those people are out of balance. So that litter of fire tends to want to rise when it's out of balance, and they can get angry, and you do not want to be in their way. But fire also causes congestion in the detoxification of the blood. Toxins will want to come out through the skin. People with an aggravated pitta will have skin rashes and a ruddy complexion and be prone to hemorrhoids. Kapha dosha with the water and earth element is responsible for the structure and lubrication of the body, and sits primarily in the area of the chest and sinuses. And when in balance, a Kapha-dosha person in the mind, they're the lovers. They're the people you want to marry, because they will just look after you and care, and they will be steady and strong. You have somebody like that on your side when you're in trouble, they're going to be the ones who will stand there and be with you and help you. And getting out of balance, that water element tends to accumulate in the chest and sinuses, cause bronchitis, asthma, phlegmy conditions, and in the body it will cause putting on weight and blood sugar issues like diabetes. The Vata constitution will show as people being generally tall and thin. The Pitta constitution people will generally have a very athletic form, and Kapha people will be sturdy. We are what we eat. Ayurveda takes the view that medicine is your food, first and foremost. What goes into your body is what you give your physiology every day to create its being. And the tastes of food are separated into six different criteria: sweet, sour, salty, pungent, bitter, and astringent. And each of these tastes are composed of two of the five elements, and will either aggravate or pacify a specific dosha. As you can see, Vata dosha, with its predominance of air element, will not want to have any of the pungent, bitter, and astringent food. Astringent meaning drying, pungent meaning fiery hot foods. They would like to have the salty, sour, and sweet foods to pacify the Vata. That's why you want to go for that chocolate bar when you're stressed out. The sweet will pacify that moving of the mind. Pitta dosha, with its excess of fire element, wants to stay away from sour, salty, and pungent or spicy foods, because that aggravates the fire even more, and will choose to have sweet, bitter, and astringent foods to bring down that fire and balance their hyperacidity in the physiology, as well as that acidity and aggression in the mind. Kapha dosha will be pacified by pungent, bitter, and astringent herbs. Astringent being dry, and you want to dry up that excess mucus. Pungent herbs, you want to really get that metabolism going in that digestion to burn off all that sluggishness that tends to hug Kapha people. So in Ayurveda, we understand that we don't just have our physical body. There's five koshas or bodies: the physical body, energetic, emotional, wisdom, and bliss body. And we start with the food and realize that because we are what we eat, we can transform our bodies and minds by choosing the diet that's appropriate for our constitution to keep it in balance. But not only does it work of going from your body to your mind, it works the other way around. My favorite neuroscientist, Dr. Candace Pert, says that every thought we think creates a molecule called a neuropeptide that connects to a cell receptor site and manifests as our physical reality. And what that means is that our thoughts and emotions are actually chemical. And this chemistry travels throughout our body and clings to receptor sites throughout our body. So we have different ways of storing stress in our body. Some of us know that when we get stressed out, our shoulders wind up around our ears, or our stomach gets tied in knots, and we can't eat because we're so stressed. It works both ways. And you have awakened when you realize that you create your reality through the energy of your consciousness. So when you realize that you're not stuck in the past, being upset about things that have happened, or worrying about the future, you're in the present because you've balanced your physiology, you've balanced your thoughts. You understand that you can create your own reality. You can be the creator. Aham from Asmi. It will be the future, the present, the way that you see it, and you manifest it. And that's what the ancient sages had in mind. Namaste.
Include me in this very special day of yoga celebration. This is a great honor to be part of International Day of Yoga as proclaimed by United Nations and championed by Right Honorable Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi. I want to preface my remarks and acknowledge that we are standing on the unceded territories of Salish Coast Nation. And this acknowledgement provides us link to past and guidance for future, which is very appropriate as we celebrate ancient knowledge of yoga. My short remarks will focus on science of yoga in health and its capacity to guide us in our daily lives for happy, harmonious, and healthy living. Before I do that, because we heard so much about eating and nutrition, I just want you to remember 5 K's of eating. As you heard many times, food is thy medicine, and especially for South Asians and Indians, food has so many different components. So I have come up with 5 K's of eating. Kya khate ho? Kitna khate ho? Kab khate ho? Kaise khate ho? Kyon khate ho? And kya khate ho is important, but is not that important. Most important is kab khate ho, kaise khate ho, and most important is kyon khate ho. Our food is so emotional and so social that we just eat too much. So I think if you remember one thing from today's perspective of health, think of food as thy medicine, and kyon khate ho and kaise khate ho becomes very important. And ladies and gentlemen, we do it all in reverse. I think if you could just change some of those habits, you will have 10 to 20 years of quality life, years to your life. Now that's not my topic today. I could talk, that's my passion, and I could talk about hours on that. But what I want to talk about really is, yoga is really inspirational. Yoga is experiential, and yoga is spiritual. It's a way of life. It's engaging, it's energizing, and it's empowering. And in medical terms, what yoga really brings is comprehensiveness, integrative, and holistic thinking. As a medical doctor of Western science and a doctor of philosophy in biochemistry, I have enough science behind me to say that Western thought is very reductive. It goes deeper and deeper at a cellular level, whereas Eastern thought is much more integrative. And I think what we really need for a healthy, harmonious life, integration of those two. So I'm really pleased that slowly but surely, through these kind of events, we are bringing two East and West philosophy together. And the secret of life is if we could bring harmony there. My biggest self-discovery was that the ancient wisdom of over 5,000 years correlates so closely to, deeply to the science of 2018. Since I started the practice, my first-hand experience with impact of breathing on all aspects of human physiology through its impact on nervous system. And what I really want to share with you is my personal experience, how it relates. You heard quite a bit today about pranayama. You heard quite a bit about asanas. So breathing, really, and what's fascinating about this breathing is that this was perceived and discovered or narrated 5,000 years ago. This is as true physiology-wise as it was 5,000 years ago, it's as true as today. You heard quite a bit about stress, you heard quite a bit about flight and fight, you heard about parasympathetic and sympathetic. What I want to share with you is that the 6 or 7 types of breathing which are prescribed in pranayama, each one has been designed specifically to balance this parasympathetic and sympathetic. And you do that without even knowing. And these rishis obviously knew. So for example, when you're doing kapalbhati, you're stimulating certain ganglions. When you're doing ujjayi, then you're stimulating closing of glottis and your air is stimulating certain ganglions. And vagus nerve, which controls the heart rate, you heard quite a bit about heart, and the, all those things come together. The thing I would say from a science point of view is, if you do these things, make sure you do them properly. The timing, the sequencing is so critical. So when they prescribe, and I'm so happy that India has taken a lead in standardizing yoga. So now we have standard yoga protocols. And the protocol which has been released as part of International Yoga Day is sequential. So make sure that if you get into this kind of practice, it really truly is a science and you follow it. So breathing has to be done in that order the way it has been prescribed. Otherwise, you lose the impact and the health impact. And if you are interested, there are lots of books on it and we could have sessions, but today I just wanted to connect this for you. The other thing is, breathing is a component of air, but also it's a cleansing exercise. So a lot of the breathing components are vibrations. So whether the word of Om or Brahmari, where you are really, it's like if you want to think of, you're generating vibrations. And those vibrations impact your sinuses. And those affect the parasympathetic and sympathetic system. So it's, I take my hat off that rishis of 5,000 years ago, led by Patanjali Maharishi, that they understood those things, and this revival based on science hopefully will lead to further health. And similarly, the asanas, which are very prominent, just Surya Namaskar essentially touches every muscle in the body. Every tendon in the body, it touches, it stretches it. And again, what I will request is, if you do it, make sure you do it properly. I've seen it many times, people lose rhythm. And that's the big difference between going to the gym and going to the exercise and doing yogas. Yoga is only valid if you combine your breathing rhythm with asanas. And the big thing is, when you are breathing in or breathing out, there has to be a rhythm. And the simple thing to remember is, when you're doing asanas, which are including extension, then you should be breathing in. When you're flexing, you should be breathing out. And unless you follow that rhythm, it doesn't give you the same benefit. So again, it's a very solid science, and done properly, it does bring health, harmony, and happiness. And as already alluded to, Patanjali Astanga Yoga is really 8 limbs. And you really have to relate to all those 8 limbs to get the maximum benefit. From a science point of view, from a medical perspective point of view, but even from a simple logical point of view, it's important that you live it as a real life.
So you heard a bit about how, well, I guess it's been said in Western culture, you are what you eat, and how using diet is as your medicine to help heal your body and to keep yourself in balance and keep things going the way they're supposed to. You also heard some other basic things about breathing and how breathing it brings things into your body, and it also cleanses your body, and how that also helps keep things in balance and in check. So there's a certain rhythm to it and everything, and it also affects the heart muscles and the balance of your whole body and the balance of your mood. So you see how yoga can actually, it's more than just an exercise. It can be a whole lifestyle. So let's get a couple messages in, and you're listening to Community Living Radio here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, UBC. And Maybe you're listening to us on live stream on CITR.ca. So check us out there also. Okay, so on with the messages.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local, independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/Discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at Discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
All right, I'm gonna do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does this make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we... You're not even gonna last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France... Montreal? What the f***?
It's the script.
I couldn't even... What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Fountain's okay, just back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that. Because even a f***ing elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR production department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
Okay, you know what? Sometimes we really do have that much fun here in CITR. Okay, so you're listening to Community Living Radio here on CITR, 101.9 FM here in UBC or in Vancouver. So the next, this last segment, there's the next speaker coming up is going to talk to us about anxiety, and a lot of us have anxiety. We get that little anxious feeling, and at times it. I'm just going to go on a little bit about anxiety for a second. Anxiety is also a flight or fight response, and it's been important to the survival of our species. So we're not just going to like just totally say that we need to get rid of our anxiety, but when that anxiety starts to take over your life, maybe something to pay attention to. And this is one of the areas where meditation and yoga can actually help this out. So listen to the next speaker as she talks about anxiety.
I've really lived with a lot of anxiety throughout my life. I was diagnosed with dyslexia at age 10. And with that diagnosis came a lot of self-doubt and insecurity, like there was something wrong with me, and I could never really shake that feeling. Even though I had a really supportive environment, my mom was always there for me, and I felt really loved, but I couldn't extinguish that anxiety telling me that I wasn't good enough. So I did overcome this. I was determined to succeed, become a doctor, and help people with a similar problem and other problems as well. I'd like to point out that 1 in 4 Canadians are diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. So I'm really not alone in having this anxiety. It's pretty common. So there's many causes of anxiety, whether it's genetic or environmental, brain neurochemistry, one of my teachers also commented that fun stress is another promoter of anxiety. So if you're skydiving, it could be fun, but it's also, your body feels stressed. So think about like whether that's counterproductive or not. So in your brain structure, there's two things that are related to anxiety in your brain. There's the amygdala that processes fear and anxiety and then alerts other brain centers. And then there's the hippocampus, which is involved in storing those memories of those threatening events. So those two play a big role in that chemistry in your brain. So there was a lot of talk about the autonomic nervous system, which is the sympathetic and parasympathetic. So I just have a nice little image here for that. And so the fight or flight or rest and digest. There is a chemistry that lasts 4 hours after a stressful event. So if you're really in that fight or flight mode, it does continue for quite a while afterwards. There's three stages of the stress response. There's the alarm phase, which is your epinephrine, adrenaline, norepinephrine, I'm scared, I'm running away, this immediate action. And then there's the resistance phase, which is your body creating that cortisol response. And this is like the short term, I'm coping, I'm adapting, I can sustain the stress as long as possible. And then eventually, once that has run out, this is the exhaustion phase, which is your chronic stress and fatigue and just burnout, can't produce any more cortisol in your system anymore. So many symptoms of stress, I'm sure that we all can relate to some of these at one point in time. There's the mental component, which is your fear, self-criticism, negative thoughts that are repeating, and physical, like Mom was talking about, that GI upset, stressed feeling, restlessness, insomnia. So I'm just going to get into the treatments now. We have a really broad array of naturopathic treatments to help with this. So first of all, we talked a lot about diet. So from a naturopathic perspective, there's these things that you should be thinking about if you have anxiety. Anxiety eats up a lot of nutrients in your body, so nutrients and minerals, so you want to get your veggies, lots and lots of veggies. And then avoiding stimulants and alcohol because it promotes this neurotransmitter called GABA, which is other way around. It inhibits that neurotransmitter. That's the good one. GABA is the one that promotes relaxation. So if you inhibit it, then it's not helpful to you. And then you also want to avoid the other neurotransmitter, which is glutamate, which is the excitatory one. So that's in a lot of MSG, and then also it can be made from gluten and dairy, which have glutamic acid, and that is converted into glutamate in your kidneys and liver. So if you want to avoid that as well. And then blood sugar balancing is really key for anyone who has anxiety in their life as well. So just a really good blood sugar diet, which is moderate, slow-release carbohydrates, lots of fat and fiber with your meals, and just avoiding those simple carbs as well. And then these are the nutrients that are most depleted by stress. So vitamin C and vitamin B5. Those ones are used to synthesize the stress hormones in your body, as well as magnesium, which is also used to make your energy. So if you're feeling fatigued as well as anxious, magnesium is something that you should be including more of in your diet, as well as potassium, which is highly excreted in a stress response. And then botanical medicine is used a lot in naturopathic medicine. Anxiety, there's the nervines and adaptogens, which are mostly used. Nervines help with that nervous system component. So there's different classes of nervines. There's the nervine relaxants, stimulants, and tonics. So for in this case, we'd be using those nervine relaxants, which promote that stress release and relaxation. And for adaptogens, those ones improve the adaptability of stress in your body. So in your body to stress, that's what I meant. And so this one works with your adrenal glands so that it helps support them so that you resist going to that exhaustion phase. So those ones are really, really beneficial. Actually, ashwagandha is a really good one. It has been shown to decrease cortisol levels by 26%, so that's pretty significant. Other helpful supplements that I find really helpful, which are L-theanine, which activates the GABA and the dopamine in your brain to promote that relaxation and you're feeling better and happier with yourself, so that like negates that anxiety picture. And then there's the GABA, which you can just take straight into your body, which is helpful if you're feeling really anxious. yeah, I brought some. And then there's inositol, which is another one that improves the receptor site sensitivity to those neurotransmitters, so that one's also really helpful. Exercise is really important to maintaining a stress-free, anxiety-free picture in your life. So moderate exercise is best, so that's like your more relaxed exercise as opposed to the extreme ones, which can raise cortisol levels as well. So 30 minutes of moderate exercise has been shown to decrease those hormones, those anxiety stress hormones in your body. And also exercise has been shown to be as effective as antidepressants, which is really, really impressive. And so regular exercising has been shown to improve self-esteem and your mood, and this is most likely due to the endorphins that your body produces. So forest bathing is something that we like to recommend to pretty much everybody. So just doing anything in nature, really, even just sitting in nature, helps to reduce anxiety. So they also had this other study where city dwellers have 20% higher risk of anxiety disorders than people who live in rural areas, which is interesting and really good to know. So for anxiety, we also would do acupuncture in our clinic. So the two meridians, the gallbladder and the liver, are the ones that we'd be working on. So we'd use various points to like calm the mind and like create a grounding feeling. And then, so the body-mind integration, I think that's a lot to do with meditation and yoga, and all these things help to really just connect those two, which is super important. So the breathing exercises that we all did today, I think that's really, really important to include in your day. They actually help to stimulate the vagus nerve, which is the nerve that is related to the parasympathetic nervous system. So when you're breathing from the diaphragm, it actually like massages that nerve and helps stimulate it. So that's really good to know. You really have control over your anxiety when you take a minute to just breathe. And then we also did laughter exercises, which is, I wasn't planning on that, but it was good timing. And and then just a gratitude perspective. So just being grateful for what you have also promotes a good state of mind. We do a lot of counseling and like connecting thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. So why people have that anxiety picture and what to do to help them negate creating those like behaviors over and over again. And then IVP, it's when mom was talking about holding your shoulders in a certain way, that pattern and stress is stored in the body. So integrative body psychotherapy helps to identify which like emotions are like stored in the body and helping to release those emotions as well as the tense areas in your body. Sleep is super important for anxiety as well as generally in your an anxiety disorder if you have those genes. But if you have a supportive environment, you are capable of developing those positive cognitive biases that increase your mental resilience. So that's really taking back control of the way that you think about the world. And I think that we can always relearn and reprogram our thinking. And with that really comes a sense of like finding your true self and who you are. And with that comes a sense of peace. And
well, that's something really important, taking a different view of your environment and what's going on around you. So we want to thank the folks over at the International Yoga Day in Surrey who put it on, and we're going to leave you with Swami Satya. His mantra and meditations. So we're going to leave you with that, and we will see you again next week. Bye.
And one thing, you are nothing, but you are closing your mouth like special time of prayer. Natural. Sometimes we do. And another thing, I laugh like a TB patient. No. Yes, now we are doing last few moments meditation. Thank you, patience. You have done external yoga, yama, niyam, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, then dhyanam. You have only one thought in your mind, and you have to...
This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.